I have good news for you. The good news for you this morning is that you have done something today that has been more significant than anything else you will do for the rest of the week. You've met around the Lord's table, and you've remembered Jesus in this special way. Do this in remembrance of me, was his commandment to us. And there's nothing more significant every week than when we meet and fellowship and commune around his table. I have been on vacation at times with my family and found on Sundays that we had trouble finding a Christian church to attend. We would open up the telephone book and try to find a church faithful to the doctrines of the Christian church. And oftentimes there are places that you go where there are no Christian churches to be found. And so I can honestly say to you that on occasions where we have been to churches that do not practice the Lord's Supper every Sunday, that I truly missed it. That Sunday just was not quite complete for me. You'll know what I'm talking about if you had similar circumstances. I remember one time that we were in the edge of Idaho on a mountain, and we couldn't find anything but Mormon churches in that area. And so we had church service. We had a church service of our own up on the Rocky Mountains on the backside. Where we were located was on the backside of the Grand Tetons. And we were up on the side of that mountain with my family. And we had a little sermonette, and we had the Lord's Supper together as a family. And I've never forgotten that moment. That was one of the special moments that I had with my family over the years, was in that. So I just wanted to encourage you with the thought that, you know, what you've done together here today is the most significant thing you'll do all day long. And we thank the Lord for that opportunity. Well, I decided to preach to you this message today. It's entitled Overcoming Temptation. In just a moment, we're going to look at the text. I'll have John put the text up for us to read. But this is an important subject, and we all struggle with temptation and deal with it on a daily basis. And so I wanted to share with you a few words from the Bible on the subject together. I'll try to expedite this message as quickly as possible. It's one of my longer sermons, so I pray for your patience and to not be tempted with impatience today. But I have to tell you a story. I must tell you a story to start with. So, and I'm not responsible for whether you laugh or whether you don't laugh, but I hope that it will cause you to be humorized this morning. A preacher who, shall we say, was a humor-inspired preacher attended a conference to help encourage and better equip pastors for their ministry. And among the speakers were many well-known dynamic speakers. And one such speaker got up to preach, and he told his story. As he entered into the pulpit, he gathered the entire crowd's attention, and he said, "The best years of my life were spent in the arms of a woman that was not my wife. The crowd was shocked. He followed up by saying, "And that woman was my mother." And the crowd burst into laughter, and he delivered the rest of his speech, and everything went quite well. Well, the pastor that had gone to hear the preacher preach decided that he'd give this humor thing a try at his home church. And so he used that joke in his sermon on his crowd, home crowd. And as he approached the pulpit that Sunday, he tried to rehearse this joke in his head, and suddenly it seemed a bit foggy to him. But anyway, he decided to give it a try. And getting the mic, he said loudly, "The greatest years of my life were spent in the arms of another woman that was not my wife." And the congregation inhaled half the air in the room. And after standing for almost 10 seconds in stunned silence trying to recall the punchline, the pastor finally blurted out, "And I can't remember who she was." That would be a bad deal. Oh, well, that's what would happen to me. I wouldn't be able to remember. Now, you know, the older we get, the less our memory holds up. And I apologize to you that that happens to me about on a daily basis. And what's really been troublesome to me, and I hope you won't be offended if I have a brain lock on you and can't remember your name when I come up to you, that's one thing I always prided myself in, and that was remembering names. And at the congregation in Mountain Grove before I left, you know, that meant that I had to remember somewhere in the neighborhood of 250 names every week, and all the little kids and everything, and I was doing a pretty good job at that. But now, in the later days of my ministry, which is now, I'm having more trouble remembering names than I used to. So forgive me, but I try to do the best that I can. Well, the text of Scripture now that we're going to look at is James, the book of James, the first chapter, verses 13 through 15. So open your Bibles to the first chapter of the book of James, and we're going to talk about overcoming temptation. Now, take note what it says. Verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, "I'm being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. Did you get that? Okay. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Would you pray? Dear Lord, it's good to be alive and to be in this place of worship today. And indeed, we have gathered around this table of remembrance, and we have celebrated your Son's coming to this earth, living a life that is abundant and victorious. And that he indeed went to the cross, and he died for our sins. And Lord, he won the victory over Satan, nailing our sins to the cross. We're thankful that he was buried in a tomb and 3 days later rose from the grave victorious over sin, Satan, and death. Thank you for that victory in Jesus. May we study your word today and talk about the subject of temptation. May we be encouraged, uplifted, and challenged by your word. Indeed, Lord, we want to be pleasing in your sight, so be with your children. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We all must face this problem. No one is exempt. We have failed to pass the test. For the Bible says, no one is righteous. No, not one. We all who are God's children have a desire to win the battle over temptation. And it is a battle. Whose music are you listening to? We will dance to the tune of those whom we adore. I want to preach today on the subject of resisting temptation. Have you ever seen that poster that says, I can resist everything except temptation? That is probably more of a slogan that represents many church members today than we want to admit. Oh, we attend church and we believe in Jesus and we give our tithes, but many of us still are struggling in the battle to gain victory over daily temptations. We repeatedly are sucked in by the appealing temptations of the world. I heard the story the other day about a wife who said to her husband, can I have the keys to the car? I'm going to just go downtown to window shop. He said, now, you've got to promise me that you will not even go into the store. And so she promised. Well, you know what happened. She left and came back in no time with a brand new dress charged to the credit card. And he said, I thought you had promised not to go inside. What happened? She said, well, I meant not to fall, but Satan whispered into my ear and he said, just go in, it won't hurt to look. And so I went in and I looked. And then Satan said to me, he said, just try one on, it won't hurt. So I did. Then he said, that is just you. Her husband said, well, why didn't you say, get behind me, Satan? She said, I did, but he said, it looks good from behind also. Oh, boy. Well, the first thing I want to say to you about overcoming temptation is you need to recognize the surety of temptation. When tempted, it is not a matter of if, but when. Max Lucado, in his fine work on the anvil, describes the tactics of Satan, and I quote his words. He said, he is the master of the trap door. He is the author of the weak moment. He waits until your back is turned. He waits until your defense is down. He aims the dart at the weakest part. And so you take a drag and you buy a drink. And you kiss that woman, and you follow the crowd, and you rationalize. You say, yes, yes, and you forget who you are. What am I talking about? I'm talking about temptation. We are talking about David disrobing Bathsheba. We're talking about Adam accepting the forbidden fruit. We're talking about Abraham lying about his own wife, Sarah. We're talking about Noah, drunk and naked in his own tent with his sons looking on. We're talking about Peter's denial and James and John's burst of anger. It is a person's worst nightmare come to pass, but it is real. It happens to the best of them and us. You can be sure Satan numbs our awareness and he short circuits our control. We know what we're doing, but we cannot believe we are doing it. In the fog of our weakness, we want to stop, but we have not the will to do it. We're like the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, who cried out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Can you relate to that? I sure can. We want to turn around, but our feet will not move. We want to run, but something will, with a magnetic force, draws us to stay for just a little while longer. What are we talking about? It is a teenager in the back seat of the car. It is the alcoholic taking just one more for the road. It is the boss touching the secretary. It is the mother losing her cool and hitting the child really hard. It is the gambler losing the rent money. It is the saint having a fit on the road rage. We call it rationalization, then guilt, then despair. It is temptation. Don't you know it? Temptation comes in all shapes and sizes. It may be in the morning or in the evening. It may be obvious or subtle. It may be bright or dim. It may be loud or quiet. It will come. And Dennis the Menace, you remember Dennis the Menace? Dennis the Menace had it pegged when he said, "Oh, Father, forgive me for the things I've done wrong and the things that I'm going to do that I don't get done today." Someone noted, opportunity knocks, but temptation leans on the doorbell. We have this notion that somehow if we were a saint that we would no longer be subject to temptation. If I could just get baptized, who's the first person to shake your hand when you emerge from the waters of baptism? Someone has noted it is Satan. As the song goes, the world all about me has no allure. Pleasures bring pain. Wisdom is vain. Now that is a great song, but it's not true. And it is not true to think after your baptism you are free and clear and no temptation will ever tempt you again. Is there anybody here this morning who can say there is nothing out there in the world that does not touch you or tempt you? The word tempt means to entice, to do wrong by a promise of a pleasure or a gain. It is a synonym for seduce or allure or persuade. Even Christ himself faced with temptation, yet he did not sin. Now, temptation itself is not sin. But to invite it in and embrace it and welcome it into your heart, as it says in the book of James here, that is the problem. Yielding is sin. You cannot stop temptation from happening, but you can say no. As the old saying goes like this, I cannot stop birds from flying all around my head, but I can stop them from building a nest in my hair. Temptations that appeal to you do not appeal necessarily to me, and vice versa. If we don't understand this, then we have tendency to be judgmental and unkind. I can walk right past a window full of nice suits and not even stop, but put a German chocolate cake in the window. Listen, other people are not tempted like you. And we always tend to make more of what they do than what we do. Don't compliment me for not smoking. I've never really had the urge to. Don't compliment me for not going to on a spending spree. I'm as tight as a tree on the bark. The bark on a tree. Don't compliment me for never gambling. I could never get interested in going to a casino for even entertainment. But I have my weaknesses. I'm terribly impatient. I tend to have my worries, and they call me a worry wart. I have this desire for Snicker candy bars. I can watch nonstop all afternoon Fox News. And I am here to tell you I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't date girls who do, but I have temptations. Listen, the greatest of all sin is to be conscious of none. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. The first step in recovery to the problem of temptation is to realize you have a problem. Is the surety of temptation. And so you say, preacher, can you help me? Church, can you help me? Lord, can you help me? And the answer is yes. And it starts out by the second point. I'm just now to the second point. See, it's a long sermon. God forgive me. Identify the source of temptation. That helps. God is not the originator of temptation. I heard about a preacher who told his staff he was going to lose weight. And so the next day, he showed up with a dozen glazed donuts, and there were just 10 left. The secretary said, I thought you were going to go on a diet. And he said, I was, but God revealed to me that I no longer need to go on a diet. She said, what do you mean by that? Well, he says, as I passed the donut shop, the smell was so enticing and so very strong. I said, Lord, if you don't want me to go into that shop, then don't let there be a parking spot in front of the store. And don't you know that the eighth time I drove around the shop, there was. And I figured it was God's will that I eat donuts. Now, honestly, haven't you heard that scenario before? A married man finds someone at work who's extremely attractive, and they decide to have an affair. Later, they decide to divorce their mate. He explains to his Christian friends, we are right for each other. We weren't looking for each other. It must be God because the chemistry was there. I say to you in love this morning, God was not the chemist. I know we have some difficult situations in the world out there and some in the church. And Billy Graham once said it well when he said, it is hard to unscramble an egg. Oh yes, we have a God who specializes in forgiveness and restoration. And we all live at the foot of the cross. But don't ever say when you're tempted that God has anything to do with it. It is so much better to be honest and admit, I made the mistake. I am sorry. I confess. I repent. And then it is to say that God is at fault. Man is always trying to shift the blame in different directions. Adam started it all. He blamed Eve, and she blamed the devil. Now she was partly right. It was her own choice. And the devil's temptation. God, I'm a glutton, and I have sometimes the problem of overeating, but God did not make me that way. I'm a homosexual, transgender. I can't help it. I'm an alcoholic, and I have no control, and the list goes on and on. Listen, you can talk about the irresponsibility all you want to, but it is your fault. It is your choice, and it is wrong. God is holy and He is not remotely or indirectly involved in your sin. He doesn't cause it. He doesn't encourage it. He doesn't condone it. We need to recognize it as it really is. It is Satan and your heart. Put the blame where it belongs. We squall, it's the environment, or it's my upbringing, or it's peer pressure, or it's my genes. That is the biggest lie to come straight out of hell that has come. You chose to be lazy. You chose to follow. You chose to pick it up. You chose to drink, to inject, to lay down, to swear, to be unkind, to cheat, or to steal. Hey, listen, every day for the Christian is election day. God cast one vote for you, Satan cast one vote against you, and you cast the deciding vote, you see. Third point. Visualize these Bible ways to stand up to and overcome temptation. You might want to write these down. Number one, hide God's Word in your heart. The Bible says, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." Have you got God's Word hidden in your heart? Where is your Bible? Some of you don't even know where your Bible is at home. Even Jesus defeated the temptation of Satan with the Word of God. Did you know that? Read Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. And His obedience to and respect for and commitment to God's Word and law usurped the temptation of Satan. What is most important to you in life? Who is most important to you? Mark the 12th chapter, verse 29 through 31. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Something can be said about how the Word of God helps to clarify and define right and wrong. It is possible that some folks just don't really know what is right and wrong and good and bad. And the only way you're going to know is if you know this book. That's it. You're not going to hear it from Hollywood. You're not going to hear it from the news. You're not going to hear it from the liberals. You're not going to hear it out in the world. The only place you're going to find it is in the book of God's Word. That's where you're going to find it. That's the reason why our families are folding across America. That's the reason why our marriages are going down the tubes. That's the reason why we're all involved in all kinds of sin and degradation is because we've gotten away from the Word of God. The first thing you need to do is you need to hide God's Word in your heart. That the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for you and me. Amen? See how long I've got. Second thing, stay step with Spirit. We've been talking about that for several weeks here in studying the fruit of the Spirit. The way to walk, the direction you walk, tells the story of winning or losing temptation. You can either walk according to the flesh or according to the Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us, in concert with the Word of God, He enlightens us. The Holy Spirit enlightens us. He empowers us. And He enables us to walk for Jesus. And when we become Christians, we emptied out self and sin, and we filled up the presence of that vacuum with the Holy Spirit. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is the great power force in overcoming temptation to Satan. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We are encouraged to empty out the old life and fill up with the new life in Christ, to put off the old and to put on the new. Paul, in the last part of the Ephesian letter, calls for them to put on the armor of God and to stand against the wiles of the devil and extinguish all the flaming arrows to the evil one. Listen, we are no match for Satan, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and for us. The control and leading and the direction of the Holy Spirit will help us to defeat temptation. So the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. And then sometimes you just need to flee from sin. 1 Corinthians 6, chapter verse 18 says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits outside of the body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. 1 Corinthians 10, chapter verse 14 says, therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verse 10 through 11, so for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people are eager for money and have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from these things and pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and endurance and gentleness. Sometimes the way to win over temptation means running the other direction. You remember Joseph? Joseph resisted the advances of Potiphar's wife and he ran away because the master of the house was gone and the master of the house was more important to him than the woman was. His God conscience would not allow him to fall to temptation. Maybe you need to turn off the TV. Maybe you need to throw away some magazines. Maybe you need to just leave the party. Maybe you just need to flee from the world and from the lusts and from the cravings of sinful man. Be a fashion setter, not a fashion follower. Hold to the promise of God and His Word. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. When you are tempted, He will provide a way out so that you can stand up and under it. Run, Satan, run towards Jesus. Whew, I'm about out of breath. Just one last thing I want to say to you today. See the sequence. See the sequence. The surety of it, you've seen the surety of it. And you have, we've discussed that, you know, the source of the temptation. And we've talked about ways to stand up to temptation. And now we're going to talk about seizing the sequence. Seeing the sequence of temptation. Bible says we are dragged away. From what? Our spiritual relationship with the Lord, inspiration of the Bible, worship of the Lord, fellowship with Christians. That is what being enticed by Satan can do. It can draw you away from all those things. Satan knows the right bait to use on us. He is a seasoned veteran and an expert guide. For he has been fishing for souls for a very, very long time, and he knows what will get you, doesn't he? And so we see liquor ads. We do not see the wrecked lives. Instead, it is party time. It is cool and joyous and clean and refreshing. And Satan knows sex sells. So we see this beautiful babe next to the luxurious sports car, and we see her consuming a big, juicy hamburger. Oh, he knows how to entice us, doesn't he? Then we have the process of sin. Tempted, you resist the thought, and you don't allow it to stay and take root. But then, at other times, we allow it to stay, and we accept it in. And later, embrace it. Temptation, when allowed to stay, is like cancer. It becomes a malignancy. It never stays benign. I've got this little place on my nose that they're checking out. I hope it's benign, but it might not be. And that's the way cancer works. And that's the way Satan and temptation works. It gets a toehold, and it goes. And it gets worse and worse. When first allowed to stay, we may not like the taste of it, but we have been affected. And the next time it tastes a little better, then the taste becomes a craving, and a craving becomes an awful habit. Have you noticed that it is always easier the second time? Only this once was Samson's theme. But only this once turned into twice, and then three times, and then he was O-U-T out. I only wanted to have one drink. I only took one deep drag on that marijuana cigarette. I only let one word slip. I only had sex one time. But that one-time thrill experiment has turned into a disaster. He's hooked now, and she's pregnant, and they got drunk, and now some people are dead. A terrible accident. You know what? It really wasn't an accident. And the final step is that it brings forth death. Following this out, see, it brings forth death. Now, this death can be temporal or permanent. Separation can be for a while, or it can be forever. The results can be felt for a while, or it can linger on indefinitely. Sin destroys relationships, marriages, friendships, churches, teams, families, communities, and nations. But most of all, it can separate us from God. Can you even imagine what it would be like to be totally away from God's goodness and grace? None of us have experienced that in this life. But it could happen in the life hereafter. And I can't imagine being in a place for eternity away. How about you? To be in a place where you will never hear a bird sing again. To be in a place you never see a sunrise or a sunset. You'll never feel a gentle breeze again. Never experience the warm embrace of your loved ones. To spend eternity in a place of absolute darkness. To hear the endless wailing of lost souls. To be tormented with the utter pain of an everlasting flame. Nobody in his right mind wishes to experience such a place. Hell is being separated from God for it. And so we play a game of chance with Satan. A thought, we sow a thought, we reap a deed, we sow a deed, we reap a habit. We sow a habit, we reap a character. We sow a character, and we reap a destiny. Now think with me as we come to the conclusion. You probably remember the story of the little boy who wanted more than anything else a ball glove. He started saving his nickels and his dimes. He'd go by the store during the day and spy in the window. At night he would kneel down by his bed and he'd pray. He'd spread all of his coins on that chenille blanket and fold his hands and prayed this prayer. Oh God, help me to save and save and work for that ball glove. And please, Lord, don't let the ice cream man come down my street. Listen. The ice cream man is coming. And there's nothing you can do to stop him. But you can seek the Lord's direction in prayer, and in the word of truth. And you will hear from that word this directive: end your love affair with sin by turning away from the world and toward the Savior, and put sin to death, burying it in a watery grave in which your sin becomes His and His life becomes yours. Put on the Spirit of Christ and put on the armor of light, and don't go into battle without His presence and His power. You're no match for the ice cream man. But you can win the battle over temptation. Amen. It's time to sing the invitation. Stand with me. The girls come, get ready. Yeah, I realize that everybody here is Christian already. You know, we're doing a battle with temptation every day of our lives. And this battle goes on, and we'll win the battle if we'll do the right things. But it's tough. But I'm glad we've got Jesus on our side. I'm glad we've got the Holy Spirit in our life. And I'm glad we've got the Word of God to guide us. And so I pray with all that in mind that you might be encouraged, and that you'll lean hard on the Lord as we sing this song softly. Okay, any prayer requests? Any prayer requests?
We have a test on the gallbladder.
Okay. Wayne? Tess? test on his on your gallbladder? Anybody else?
Pray for me and my dialysis.
You bet. Doc. And then what time again was that service going to?
Saturday at 9 o'clock.
9?
August the 3rd.
O'clock this coming Saturday. Anybody else? Who? Westall Dannon. We don't know whether she's at the hospital or whether she's...
They don't know the baby's system.
Okay. Okay, and then, of course, remember Dot and her hip. Don't know what the outcome will be on that, but we probably need to pray for her. Also pray for me on my little skin deal. Pray that it's not cancer, but if it's cancer, that they'll be able to take care of it. So I'm supposed to hear this next week. So anybody else? Yes. Sure need to get somebody to replace this one. I enjoy coming and preaching to you, but I am praying that you will find somebody and that there'll be just the right kind of match for you and that the work here will continue on as God would have it to. Anything else? Yes. Pray for politicians. To get along. Okay. Who's going to lead our prayer? Okay, Doc. Lead us. Everybody stand.
For Brother Jack, that he preached the temptation, Father, that we know that we can stand up against the devil. We know that some of us has went through that, and we know how that's done, and get down on our knees and pray to Jesus Christ to save our lives. And Father, we just thank you so much that you have a love for us that's way beyond anything else that we have. Father, we pray for those that has been mentioned on the prayer list, and bring hope for them, Father. And Father, we just thank you again for the love that you give each and every one of us. We ask you for a good week this week, Father, and keep us safe, keep us strong. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.